I'm joined in studio by the Donegal Person of the Year 2025, Mr. Paddy Keeney. Paddy, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Greg.
You didn't see this coming at all. This come just completely out of the blue.
Yeah, I was really fooled, I thought maybe there would be someone if you were ever in that situation. But when the chairperson, Siobhan Shovlin, rang me, I thought she was looking, as I did help them in years past, maybe with old pictures and bits of video and stuff like that. And she said, I suppose it's that time of year again, you know, and sure, I would always like to help them out. But then she said, it's you.
Oh, wow, brilliant.
So I couldn't get my head around that fact.
Are you comfortable with something like that?
Well, I never aspire, to be honest,
sort
of thing.
Not everyone likes the spotlight, but this spotlight shone directly on you.
I have had such great respect for the Donegal Person of the Year, right, since Father McDair was then given the honour. And so something, you know, I respect gratefully, so I do particularly honour it, Greg, you know.
You're among some amazing people and very fitting, as you fit right in there. Because obviously, you know, in life we have all different ways of influencing and its significance. Yeah. And yours is very significant in that, you know, one of the big feathers in your cap is a co-founder of Highland Radio. Right, so where were we at that point? Obviously, there was a network of pirate radio stations, right?
Yes.
What was your role in that?
Well, I never got involved in
pirate
stations. So it's just we had the late Kevin McIntyre, Captain Kevin McIntyre, who both of us worked together, and we've been talking about projects in Donegal and futuristic sort of stuff, and Kevin was a great man for that. But then we thought, you know, there is pirate stations and all this sort of thing, but there's nothing organised about all this. You know, we need a licence. You can't go in. I mean, I worked in the Department of Post and Telegraph, so I was well aware that you needed a licence to broadcast. So we made an application through Raymond O'Neill, who later joined the committee, the Solicitor General, God rest him, just died. And the Porrick Faulkner was the Minister for Post and Telegraph, so he wrote back to say, well, there's no legislation to enact a radio licence for broadcasting in Ireland except for the national channels. So that was the start of it all. So the next step then was to form this committee from Father McDyer down. We had two, funny enough, I mentioned it the last night at the lunch, that we had Father McDyer and the late Dermot Walsh from Carrigart. They were two Donegal Persons of the Year, first and third.
There you go.
And we invited them then on to that committee, and they played a big part.
The structure of the committee, the board, the committee, the makeup of that, was that by design? So in other words, what was the thinking at the time? Was that a diktat in terms of the licence application, or is that the vision that you and others had?
We had a vision of involving the whole county.
Yeah.
And, of course, when we didn't get the south of the county, that was a disappointment.
It really still remains a great
because
disappointment.
Because we had Jim White down there. He was on our committee to cover that South Donegal scene. We had Father McDyer over in Glencolumbkill. Dermot Welsh then was kind of north-west. Brendan Keaveney was in his own. Some people that might have been a bit close to political but not in particular. Paddy McGowan
politics
helped us
adjacent
out in the early day. Yeah, that's right. So, because at that time, like, a politician couldn't have joined local radio boards, you know, so
What logic? Well, I've heard the logic, but for listeners' benefit, like, this split we have in the county, it kind of is historic. If you look at the papers, you know, the Democrat down south, the People's Press up north. I'm not saying it's religiously like that, but it kind of felt like that there. I just wish we were a one county radio station. No disrespect to Northwest, who I worked for in the day, notion that's there now. But this idea that this county's in two.
Well, I thought I was particularly disappointed, and I'll tell you why, Greg. And it's a funny sort of a story, but it's true. There were six of my family abroad, and I used to send them the local papers every week if I could. But when you had five newspapers then, which newspaper do I send? You know? And this threw an idea into my head. wouldn't it be lovely just to have one newspaper that would cover the whole county?
Yeah.
But the radio then, I says, well, look,
that'll service that.
That'll sort that out, you know. Yes. So when the license came along and we were missing, the best I could find out about that, it was political, that decision. And it was simply this, that you do need a certain population to run a radio station so as you'll be able to reap advertisements and all that sort of thing. And they wanted, of course, to place a station in Sligo. And they didn't have the numbers.
Critical mass, yeah.
They didn't have the numbers. So they've done now, like they've done with South Donegal in politics. They've taken a bit away.
Yeah, but give it like, I mean, as I say, I worked for North West at the time, and I'll talk of North West.
Yeah.
It doesn't work because you have Sligo City,
yeah.
Ballyshannon, Donegal Town, Killybegs, you know, all different priorities, different people. And what would end up happening is you go, yes, well, you know, things are bad in Sligo. Oh, and South Donegal as well. Yeah. And we had this opt-out 105 FM, right? And we would contribute news then up to the main news desk. And it always felt like a struggle to get the prominence.
Yeah.
It always felt like South Donegal was a little bit of the poor cousin.
That's
if you know
right.
what I mean.
That's
and
right, yeah.
that's, I'm not sure what that is like now, but it certainly... Well, it just never made sense, even working within the ecosystem, you know.
Well, that's right, and that's the feedback we would have got here from the south of the county, the people there. They wanted Highland Radio to cover the whole county, but technically it was easy done, but from the best authorities in the Department of
Well, now we have a situation whereby, you know, a lot of, you know, we would get 3 or 4 million polls every single month on smart speakers and the apps. So people choose.
Oh, that's a great.
Yeah.
So that's a great addition.
We're not as reliant on the network.
That's
but
right.
The network, Paddy, what a job to take on to try and get a transmission network in this part of the world and to cover all the pockets as best as you could.
That's right.
I don't think there's not another radio station in the country since that has had to face that challenge. So how you were responsible for designing this, right?
Yeah.
And then finding locations and getting masts up. Yeah. How big a job was that?
It was. I must have climbed every hill nearly in Donegal at the time. I suppose the experience I had working with the Department of Post and Telegraphs, and there was communications a lot there, and there were some radio communications as well. So I had an idea what would work. So we had to put a transmitter in the west of the county. It was supposed to go at Crowe Head, for example. Mm-hmm. But there was no access to Crowe Head, even though it was a great site. But that's the Department of Communication picks these sites, and then you're supposed to operate there. But my experience of working on Arranmore Island and telecommunications and repairs out there, I knew the vision from the top of Arranmore there, and we could link it from Scalp Mountain, get it across and rebroadcast it. That would save a lot of problems. So, lucky for us, and Fala Gowan and Aaron Moore and Mrs. Galler, I bought the site of her out there.
And so, how many transmission sites did we have at launch?
Well, we just had the two.
Okay.
And then we had to fill in the Finn Valley and Anishone and Moville and Easter.
And of course, it's a balancing act. And have a slug there. Mm. There's a balancing act too, because there is... you are told at what power you can broadcast as well. So you're trying to get this signal into every nook and cranny. And, you know, you could probably crank it up and give everyone glorious FM, right? But at the same time, there's rules and regs in relation to that. You don't want to be leaking into somebody else's franchise area. Yeah. You know, there's...
It's a whole European thing, you're right, Greg, because you have to be careful with the British authorities. You can't encroach on their thing, and they're Northern Ireland, so there's frequencies allotted now, 103.3 at the other end of the six counties.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens there is that's designed so that when the 103 comes on there, it blots out the one coming from here.
There is some,
there's a plan all in there, you know, and so that makes it difficult for...
I must say, actually, there's an extended rollout of DAB radio. I thought that was a dead technology, but there seemed to be. But you listeners, you will be surprised to learn that DAB will be available everywhere except Donegal. As part of this new trial. So that's where we're at still. But thanks to Paki, we have the network here to keep us going on FM. When Highland then launched, did you expect it to be as popular as it was? You know, I mean, obviously there'd be an initial excitement, right? But you also have to have something that connects with people.
Yeah. Well, we did do a good bit of research because obviously we wanted to know for a start off, could we make enough money in advertisement to run the show?
They're still on about that.
that'll never stop. But NWCR in Buncrana and DCR in Letterkenny, they were good examples of popularity in pirate. And so they were the only pointers we really had. And as it transpired, we ended up taking half the staff out of both of them, as presenters.
Well, the expertise was there, wasn't it?
It was there, and as well as that, they had another certain thing. They were people who loved radio.
Yeah, yeah. And down the south, you could have tapped into the likes of KTOK, which was broadcasting in FM when 2FM wasn't, which was really quite remarkable, and Glencoe Radio and some of the great characters from there. But they ended up sort of being more subsumed into Northwest Radio back in the day as well. So there certainly was quite a lot of talent from the pirates, in inverted commas, that ended up. So, I mean, obviously you're a member of the Ballycorns band. Right, so what was your role within that band?
We were just a wedding
on your poster. We're just a wedding band.
That was the Barleycorns you're talking about, is it?
Yeah, sorry.
We were just a three-piece that started up, and we did, famously, we did the Candlelight Dinner in the Central Hotel in Donegal Town, which was a big gig, you know, and Mrs. Highland took a liking to us, so we loved that, of course. But then it spread out to, there was a big dinner dance thing happening in those days, Greg, you know. Every company had a dinner dance, and that was a big deal. And then, of course, the weddings and the pubs, singing lounges were starting to come on. And
there was plenty of gigs.
We just kind of grew into, I remember us playing 14 nights in a row before we finished up when I got married in 1972. So we were very... We were very busy, and we weren't that great, but we were popular.
Yeah, and that talks to your love of music, and that's why I wanted to reference that too, because obviously, you know, you then went on to become a presenter at Highland Radio. Were you a presenter from launch, Paki?
No, I wasn't, because I was so busy technically.
Yeah.
You know, we're all the time like sorting out little problems and trying to improve this and that, and then I wanted to concentrate on that. It was probably, we were probably a year or so in before we got into broadcasting, and then
you loved that, did you?
I was interested in the marching bands at the time because my own family were involved, and we had a very good band in Murlock and Difford, St Patrick's, and there's a big band scene in the county. We had about 20 bands, and there were competitions every Sunday. And, you know, when you looked at it, there was as many people playing music in bands as there were out playing football, GAA or soccer. And I said, you know, we can't ignore this. So I went, I organised this little programme called Band Corner.
Right.
So I'd take in the committees and talk about it, then we'd play some recordings I would do of them. And so that started me off
That's an example that, you know, I wouldn't call it niche programming, but specific programming that the platform was there for then.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Can you imagine trying? I mean, you might get on Nationwide if you kept at it once in 10 years, but, you know, there was that platform for you to celebrate.
That's right. So that was very successful at the time, and then I used to do a lot of video, of course, as well of them. But yeah, it was then, I remember, that's the time, do you remember that we had edited the programmes on tape, splicing the tape
started on minidisc.
Yeah, did you?
I think Donalyn there still has the scars. I think Donalyn there still has the scars to attest to, but also to carts, like, so each ad would have been on a cart, presumably at launch.
That's
here
right.
As well.
Well, we were, I think, the first to move over to computer editing.
Right.
You know, so we did away with the splicing as early as we could.
That machine was in the newsroom when I came here. It wasn't used, but the actual machine
for editing.
Yeah, there you go. So, and in terms of innovation, right, I think, you know, given your career before you went on to establish Highland Radio, were you always interested in technological advancements, wires, cables, plugging stuff in?
Yeah.
Kind of what I am, to be honest. I'm obsessed with this stuff. and it never leaves you, like.
Oh, yes. Well, you see, my work, I was trained as a technician as well, and we had done the electronics, the electricity, the physics and the math and all the rest of it. And so we spent half the year training in Dublin and the only half the year then out in the field. And so half of that year in Dublin was at Dublin Castle in the telecommunications school. And then the other one was in Kevin Street College, where we did the theory, the electronics, electricity and all. So I'd got a decent enough background in the whole technology thing. And I was interested in it. And the wires follows on from there, Greg. So I felt very much at home in that field, you know. But then I became a radio ham. So I still hold a radio ham license. So that was the radio side. Then I had a study for that and learn your Morse code at that time. I don't remember any of it now, of course. But then that led on then to having enough theory for putting local radio on the air.
Nice.
And so,
but still a lot. I mean, there's an awful lot involved in that you'd have to learn on the job and sort out as you were going, because to some extent you're pushing the boundaries, you know, of what you can do, what the equipment is designed to do, and so on and so forth.
That's right. There was opportunities as well when RTE were down here doing local elections or general elections, and you know, like me, would have been on standby,
yeah,
and making sure that the lines were working. As well as that, there would be church broadcasts. I seemed to get a lot of that work. And so I was learning all the time, and if I ever got an opportunity and to go into RT in Dublin to the GPO or whatever, you could learn. I enjoyed it. And then, of course, the whole idea of radio then, as it was then, came to us and was on from there.
All right, brilliant stuff. We're in the company of the Donegal Person of the Year 2025, Paddy Keeney. Kevin McFeely says, Paddy was my boss, and all I can say is thank you. You are a gentleman. And he's worked together in P&T there, I believe.
Indeed, yeah.
I would like to congratulate Paddy on being awarded Donegal Person of the Year. A worthy recipient and a gentleman. Him and his late wife were great friends of ours, Nora O'D from Rafoe. Yeah. A former member of the Letterkenny reunion wants to say thank you to Paddy for all his work. Thanks for all the lovely memories and videos he made of our events. He was such an asset to us, and we went on so many different trips together to London, etc. Obviously, between the radio and your video work, there's archive there. Is that something that you're passionate about, or you feel that's important, or just was things that you were interested in?
Well, I did start out mostly. Well, I've always done a bit of movie and that, going back to 69. But then I got interested then in video, and I felt that the Donegal GA had very little in the archives, and I suggested at the time that we get video equipment, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
And so I then operated the video equipment, covering matches and club matches, county finals and all that sort of thing for probably up to about 15 years after we started. And I have an archive there at the moment on my YouTube channel at Paddy Keeney. And there's over 200 videos in there, and there's a lot of football in there, and there's a lot of marching bands. Mm. There's a lot of other events like fly kyols and stuff like that. And
I think it's just a remarkable contribution to history. Because we now say we're doing a history. Say we've got Dr. Joe Kelly on here and we're talking history, and he's referencing
a spot.
He's referencing a book, or he's referencing, you know, there will come a time where we're talking, it won't be me, but people will be reflecting on things in the future, and it'll be your archive, which I think is just a wonderful gift.
Well, you know, I get feedback from it, Greg, and there's some lovely feedback. One recent was a woman who contacted me to say she had seen her father for the first time. She was 2 years of age when he died. He was a musician as well and a very good singer from Derry, actually. And so she was thrilled just to see that and see him performing, you know. And that's, I believe all that stuff should be left there. And when I'm gone, children, grandchildren, and we'll be able to refer back to it, you know. And
throw your headphones on there for me, Paddy. I think they should be to your left. Hopefully the volume is okay. Wouldn't be the first set of headphones you had on in this studio. Because, of course, Paddy was chair of the Finn Valley Male Choir. He helped establish it, and a vital social and mental health support network for older men. Gerard joins us. Hi, Gerard.
Hi, Greg. How you doing?
I'm good. Now, Paddy's on the call with us as well. You're reflecting on the Finn Valley Men's Choir.
Hello, Gerard.
Yeah, when we were absolutely... Hi, Paddy. How you doing? We're absolutely delighted on behalf of the Men's Choir to extend our many congratulations to Paddy. He's such a real gentleman, the word go. And he's actually the second man in the choir now, Fergus Cleary being the first to receive such an accolade.
That's right. And I suppose we better send good wishes to Fergus, Gerard.
Yeah, Fergus is in hospital at the moment. So, you know, we're thinking about him and hope he recovers soon.
Yes.
It was very important, Gerard, the choir, wasn't it? Obviously for people to get together, to enjoy and celebrate music, but also an opportunity for... I think, you know, sometimes rare opportunities for men to get together and socialise in a non-alcoholic environment and tease things out and what have you.
Yeah. Very important for mental health. We have over 30 men in the choir at the minute, and they're really all enjoying it. And it's great for their stimulation, their development, their mental health. That social interaction is vital to their well-being at the minute, you know. And Paddy is also our chairperson for the choir as well. So, yeah, it's all good.
Brilliant stuff. Lovely stuff, Gerard. Thank you.
Gerard, we better mention our musical director, Mary Dunn, the part she's playing in it.
We all love
Mary, you know.
Mary Dunn is our musical director. Mary's from Letterkenny. She's absolutely fantastic.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks, Gerard. Can I congratulate Paddy on his award from Rita McLaughlin? Another a true gentleman from Kathleen Boner, also involved in the men's choir, was so excited.
One of the founders of the Finn Valley Men's Choir, Kathleen Boner, herself and Catherine Given, Alice Gilday. You know.
Yeah.
So
you talked out for our draw. Played GA with our draw.
Yeah, well, I grew up in Meantinage in Ardra, and we had a schools team even before we left there. Ardra were instrumental in the underage, under 16s, the 14s down, and bringing that to county level. God rest my brother, oldest brother John was involved in that. We had a parish league in Ardra when I was a kid, and that was such a success that they want a motion forward to the county board to introduce underage football in the county, and that's what happened.
Well, so Ardra with the Trailblazers then?
And that team went on then to win the juvenile, the under 14, they had juvenile, and they had under 18, and then it went on to the juniors, won a couple of county championships with juniors and leagues as well. So all started with underage football, so that's the way forward.
What's your medals cabinet like?
Well, I never... never kept a very fancy one.
But you played seniors, though.
I did, yeah. Well, I got a run out for the county under 21s against Derry,
and
we lost in the first round in Valvafay. Brian McAniff then came to me once. In fact, it was the opening of the Oman GA pitch, and very kindly offered me a game. And then I was playing a 7-a-side final in Lifford, so I had opt for the final. That seemed to be the best.
But you are passionate about the GAA, are you? I mean, obviously, with your involvement with Ardra, you've already talked of seeing the importance of archiving and being an official videographer, right? So is the GAA an institution that's very close to your heart?
Oh, it would be, yeah. It would be my first sport, there's no doubt about it. I have absolutely nothing. I mean, I've played soccer. I have never been able to play rugby, although I have a couple of grandsons that really enjoy the game. But again, differently, they play Gaelic and they also play soccer. So I love to see them playing all the different games, Greg, you know. But we grew up, I think it's what you grew up with, and I grew up with the Gaelic football and listening to all the great stories. And our dad had a very successful club in the early days, you know, and that tradition is the hardest thing today.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, that's good,
and
yeah.
That's where it comes from, you know.
Big congratulations to Paddy Keeney. Well deserved. You're a star from the Convoy Women up Donegal. I don't know how what the collective is there, Paddy.
Well, probably we really need P.O. McCann here. They always had a good line for P.O. when we were playing Tyrone, you know, and they were the best at the one liners. They're three great.
Congratulations to Paddy, a great honour for a great gentleman from Tony McNamee. Congratulations, Paddy, from Leslie and Margaret Long. Best wishes and congratulations to Paddy. I worked with him in Aircom and he was always a gentleman and so kind to everyone from Leo McGranahan. And also too, which I wasn't aware, it's great to have an opportunity to ask you about it, is your involvement in charitable housing associations. Has that been throughout? Was that a period in your life? When was that?
Yeah, well, for the last 17 years.
Yeah.
I'm at an age now, I was saying to the But I've been chairman for the last few years there, and saying that if I stay any longer, I'll be coming in as a client.
Hey, no harm in that. So, at least you'll know the way in.
So it is time to hand over. But just going back to Leslie Long there.
Okay, sorry.
I just know it's just the fact that Leslie's father, Willie Long, the late Willie Long from Dunkaneely, was an amazing technical wizard himself.
Right.
Yeah. And in the early days of our Barleycorns, where I played with Peter Oliver McNeil, my cousin from Ardra, still playing music, and the late wonderful musician Dom Esby from Balbuffet, and I'd like to say hello to his wife Mary and the family. And then we had Frank McGee from Ardra, who was a teacher in the comprehensive in Glenties. Frank spent the time with us, went off and got his heat step, whatever it was at the time, to do teaching. But they were... Willie was an inspiration technically as well, because he was a radio ham, and I think that's where I got the love of the radio ham.
Right, okay.
You know, when you... Those days, you know, it was £3 a minute to ring New York, and Willie Long could go in on the thing and talk to his friends for free.
Into New York.
And in New York. And
was that point to point?
Point to point, yeah, house to house, yeah, over the airwaves.
Unbelievable.
And it was, yeah, it was exciting. I found it very exciting.
I remember a neighbour, this is going back 40 odd years, a neighbour, a tractor had a CB in it, and just this notion of pressing the button and maybe connecting to someone, never really successfully did, right? But I don't even, it probably wasn't built for that.
Yeah.
But it did fascinate me as well, I have to say. Yeah. We want to add our congratulations and best wishes for the future to Paddy, Frankie and Nolene Lynch in Convoy.
Right.
Michael and Mary Breslin in our draw, sending their congratulations to Paddy, so well deserved.
It never is up there, yeah.
And a word that's come in dozens of messages, gentleman Paddy. Is there a philosophy there? You know, manners are easy carried. A lot of, like, we do lots, we don't do lots. We do these from time to time, but it's not often you get that one word that keeps coming through, right? Is that something that you've worked hard on throughout your life to be good
to
people?
Well, I think the most important thing is respect, you know, and I think you should respect everybody and treat them the way you would like to be treated yourself. It's nearly as simple as that, Greg. And it doesn't matter whether it's the doorman or whoever it is, he has a job to do, respect him, and deal this the same way with him as you would with the top boss in the company. That was, we never worried about talking to power or that sort of thing, you know, just respect.
People, I agree with you 100%. And Paddy, are you looking forward to the big night in Dublin then?
Yeah, the Bonington, and I've been fortunate to be at a few of those. Jared McGee there mentioned Fergus Cleary, who's recovering in Letterkenny Hospital. That was the first. He was a neighbour of my late wife, Kathleen's, whose 5th anniversary will be next week. And then we had Shea Given, of course, my nephew. He was Donegal Person of the Year. And then late Stephen McCall. That was Stephen was a great friend of mine.
Even saying that, it still doesn't ring
no,
true.
No, it doesn't.
Does it?
Exactly. I just can't get over that he no longer is there. And it was lovely there to have Gemma, his daughter, along for the lunch in Buncrana the last night. And I want to say good morning to Moretta, his wife, and young Stephen. The two of his family are in New York. And so that's a tremendous loss for me personally, I feel, and to the people of Ardra and to the people of this county, because he had his heart and soul in this county, and he was a very deserving Donegal Person of the Year.
100%.
Yeah.
Really, as I say, just hard to get the head around
exactly.
Such a vibrant, big, handsome character. Of course, says Paki's the most deserving recipient in a long time. Well done from a regular radio listener. Congratulations and best wishes to Paki. Very well deserved. Delighted to hear that you've won from Patsy and Matt McGranahan. Okay,
yes,
brilliant. Listen, thanks so much, Paki, for calling up. I mean, we can only scratch the surface of what you've contributed to the media landscape, not just locally, actually, nationally. Highland Radio, quite remarkably, this is not blowing my own trumpet because it's nothing to do with me, has the highest market share of any radio station in Europe, still to this day.
That's right.
There's no one near it. And in fact, I couldn't find one when I tried to across the world with a highest market share. So that's the amount of people listen every day or every week and for how long they listen. It's a remarkable thing.
It is. It is, yeah. And it all started in the very first year. A famous man called Paki Bradley, I met his sister Mary down in Buncrana the last night there. And he, his figures were enough to bring us to number one. And then we had a fella called Sean Doherty came along then. And,
it's been downhill since. Paki.
It's been a big improvement since.
We will we will have another opportunity to dig into all that a little bit more. Thank you.
Just could I thank the Donegal Association in Dublin for the lovely treatment we got in Buncrana the last night and the way they've handled all this. And we're looking forward to seeing everybody in Dublin at the Bonington Hotel on the 28th of March. Please, God, we'll have a good night. And thanks to Mylon Greg, and thanks to Highland Radio.
Paki Keeney, thank you for Highland Radio.